Good morning, Harmony to Luke Lake. Please, we invite you to stand as you are able and join us in this prayer and worship experience that we are surrendering to our Lord and Savior.
You gave me that joy like a river. You gave me that mercy I never deserved. You gave me that love, nothing better. You gave me that sweet peace like never before. There's nobody like God, my God. I'm talking about my God, my God. There's nobody like God, my God. I'm talking about my God, my God.
You gave me that joy.
You gave me that joy like a river.
Next time we'll start to clap before the song starts.
This world has nothing for me. This life is not my own. I know you go before me, so I am not alone. Clear, but I know you go with me, so I will never fear. I will trust in you.
Whatever will come our way, through fire or pouring rain, no, we won't be shaken. No, we won't be shaken. Whatever tomorrow brings,
you know my every longing, and you've heard We will trust in you, and we will not be moved. We will trust in you, and we won't be shaken. We will trust in you, and we will not be moved. We will trust in you, and we won't be shaken.
We will trust in you.
Switch out mics real quick.
Forgive.
shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all fame. Your will above all else, my purpose remains. The art of losing myself in bringing you praise. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fails. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all fame. In my heart and my soul, Lord, I give you control. Consume me from the inside out. Let justice and praise become my embrace. To love you from the inside out. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fails. Never ending, your glory.
Everlasting.
Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fails. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all fame. And the cry of my heart is to bring you praise from the inside out. Oh, my soul cries out from the
So second chances, what are some of the second chances that you wished you'd had that were in the question of the day? Just popcorn them. Topics. Anyone?
More sleep last night.
More sleep last night. Very good. Anyone else?
Been nicer to someone.
Wish you'd been nicer to someone, okay?
Different major.
A different major in college. Oh, how many can relate? Not me, but that's okay. All right. Who else? What else? Anyone? Yes. It's hard to see.
I wish I would have forgiven my mother for her alcoholism
sooner than I did. Those kinds of relationship regrets, second chances that we wished we'd done. You know, that's really at the heart of today's gospel. Because the woman at the heart at the gospel story for today wanted a second chance to make new memories with her daughter. If the seventh chapter of Mark, which we're in today, begins with Jesus, who is deeply engaged in debates with the Pharisees and the disciples about the law of Moses and how they understood its purpose. They misunderstood Jesus about eating and diet and cleanliness, and Jesus gets tired of the debates. Gee, I don't know what that's like in public policy these days. But he gets weary, and so he says, you know what, I'm going to go take a break. I'm going to go off to Tyre and Sidon, an area which is filled with Gentiles, people who aren't like him, people who have a different history, who don't worship like him, who don't eat like him. And as he's going, a woman calls out to him, a Canaanite woman. Now, the disciples already are wary. A Canaanite? We're going to be with those people? Oh, no. We are not supposed to be associating with them. They're bad. They're unclean. They don't worship our God. And then we have a woman who herself is unclean by definition approaching Jesus. What could she possibly want? And here she is in the middle of the street wailing desperately, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David, help me. My daughter is not well. She is tormented by a demon." And back in those days, being tormented by a demon could mean anything from mental illness to severe physical illness. Well, Jesus, he didn't say anything. He just keeps right on going. He puts his head down. But there she is, continuing to follow him and crying out, creating a scene among people. You can imagine the disciples wanting to say, "Get out, lady," but they probably didn't. But they wanted to say, "Get her away. She keeps shouting after us." Finally, Jesus pauses and he turns back to the begging mother. Now, this is where we'd expect to know the formula. Jesus would understand where this woman's coming from. A mother cries out, the disciples complain, Jesus heals, and we all learn a valuable lesson tied up with the bow, and we go home. But it doesn't go like that. In fact, Jesus, he comes off as not very Jesus-y, frankly. He says, "Ma'am, I'm here to feed the children of Israel, not the Canaanites. I didn't come for you, and I certainly didn't come for your daughter. It's not fair to take the children's bread and give it to the dogs, is it?" Ooh. You know, this is not the Jesus that we know and that we follow. Amen? And yet, Christians have been debating this story for centuries. What was wrong with Jesus that day? Was he grumpy? Did he not have enough sleep last night? Was he testing her? Was the human side of him coming out and taking over the divine? And was it mistaken? Or was Jesus using this woman's petition to provide an object lesson about the law that neither the Pharisees nor the disciples had truly understood in his earlier teaching that had worn him out? You see, right here with this woman, Jesus could say, "This is the person that if you follow the laws to the letter, you are excluding. This woman, her little girl, what have they done to you besides being born into a different race? This is what we are doing to our brothers and sisters today when we exclude those based on their ethnicity or their gender identity or who they love." Jesus is saying, no. That's not what God wants us to do at all. God wants us to draw the circle wide, not the circle small. Amen? And to do otherwise is not of God. And this woman is providing the example. But that's that line, the takeaway line. I shouldn't throw food to the dogs. The woman responds. She says, "Well, okay, Lord. But, you know, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Even we Canaanites are entitled to the scraps, don't you think?" Now, can you imagine the looks on the disciples' faces when they heard this woman say, what did she just say? What did she just say? Did she just talk back to Jesus? It was a brave act on her part. It was an act of faith to talk to a person across gender, across ethnic lines in such a bold way, and across religious lines as well, because he was a rabbi. She shook up everyone's assumptions. Now, here's the thing. We can't read Jesus' mind in the story. We can theorize, but we'll never really know why he acted the way he acted. But we do know that he was moved by the Canaanite woman and what she said. He was moved by her passion and her persistence. And because of that, Jesus grants her the mercy that she sought. He heals her daughter, and he gives her a second chance at life. A few years ago, the Reverend Jan Richardson, a pastor in the Florida conference, wrote a great poem that Kelly is going to come forward and read for us now. Just have a different voice. Is there a microphone that Kelly can use?
Thanks, Sue Ellen. And good job in the choir today. Stubborn blessing. Don't tell me no. I have seen you feed the thousands, seen miracles spill from your hands, like water, like wine. Seen you with circles and circles of crowds pressed around you, and not one soul turned away. Don't start with me. I am saying, you can close the door, but I will keep knocking. You can go silent, but I will keep shouting. You can tighten the circle, but I will trace a bigger one around you, around the life of my child, who will tell you, no one surpasses a mother for stubbornness. I am saying, I know what you can do with crumbs, and I am claiming mine. Every morsel and scrap you have up your sleeve, unclench your hand, your heart. Let the scraps fall like manna, like mercy, for the life of my child, the life of the world. Don't tell me no.
Amen. See, clearly Jesus didn't know who he was messing with that day. This story shows that when it comes to saving what needs saving, being merely nice and pliant won't win the day or the life. Sometimes we just need to dig in our heels and do some hollering. Brothers and sisters, we all need a woman of great faith to stubbornly bless our lives. Sometimes it's our mother, but it can also be a teacher, an aunt, a pastor, a friend. And I hope we all have a Canaanite woman in our lives who has fought for us, who has talked back to teachers and doctors and grumpy neighbors on our behalf. Women of great faith who have said, don't you tell me no when it comes to my child, a friend, because I will stand by them. And now I have totally messed up my page order. Here we go. And here's the thing. This faith that the Canaanite woman demonstrates is that she is not going to allow herself, or more important, her sick daughter, to be dismissed. There seems to be a whole lot of dismissing going on in society these days. We have seen this week in too many of our elected officials dismissing the need for facts to matter and for the truth to be told, especially when it comes to the hundreds of children and their parents still waiting to be reunited after being forcibly separated at the border. There are at minimum 572 remaining children who were ripped out of their parents' arms as they presented themselves legally for asylum at our southern border, seeking only to find peace and safety from the violence and the gangs and the terror in their home countries. I have talked about this in every sermon I have preached at Hollywood since May, and I am going to continue to do so till every child is reunited. This is a national disgrace that we must continue to lift up, because simply reuniting families is not enough. Because this is not a political crisis. We are facing, my brothers and sisters, what I believe to be one of the greatest moral crises of our time. If we allow our government to take away children from their parents, in some cases those parents are legal citizens, and then if we say nothing, we are complicit. Jesus didn't say, let the children come to me and while I have them, you can take the parents away to a detention center. Jesus didn't say, oh, you want to apply for asylum? Fine, but you may not see your children again. You want them back? Sure. And then we'll deport you all to face death in your home country. No. Jesus, that brown-skinned refugee, told his followers, take care of one another. Draw that circle wide to include everyone. Offer a glass of cold water to the thirsty. Give the coat off your back to those in need. Welcome the stranger. Love God and one another, especially the children for whom we are all responsible. Amen? Amen. And now that we know that the families, that before families were separated, our elected officials knew about the lasting trauma they would be inflicting on these children, like little Mario here, Franco rather, here in this picture, who was 4 years old and away from his mother for 4 months. It's our responsibility to help them heal. We must be the hands and feet of Christ for all God's children, because all children do cry the same tears. Brothers and sisters, we need to be the Canaanite woman for these children. We need to be people of great faith who will stubbornly embody the love of Jesus for ourselves and proclaim that same inclusive love for all God's children. Amen. So now, as we come forward and prepare to gather around the table that Jesus has set before us, let us pray for the stubbornness of the Canaanite woman in our insistence in following the Christ. Let us pray that we can have that same stubbornness to share his life-giving love, even when it isn't convenient, even when others would tell us to be quiet and get out, even when others would dismiss us. Because it is in being persistent, in seeking justice, and loving one another, that's the only way we will indeed have a second chance to make new memories of hope and peace with all God's children. Amen.
Bless the Lord, draw near to us.